tell you. Come on, Eric.
Good weekend. Happy Monday.
Good to you. Yeah, it was kind of busy. Had one set of grandkids over on Saturday and one set on Sunday.
It's always good to hang out with family. We had a pretty good weekend, too. It was beautiful weather, so we had the windows open, playing some games, and doing some cleanup around the house. So, yeah, pretty low-key. We didn't really go anywhere, but, yeah, it was a good time.
We had to help the boy replace a lug stud on his Civic, and it's like, man, what poor engineering that was.
A little bit of that because I was chewing. Can you come again?
Change a lug stud on his car. He had one that somebody had stripped and that was some poor engineering about how to get that thing out.
Yeah, mechanics hate automotive engineers.
You to take the whole damn axle hub out and everything just to get it out. It's like, yeah, that ain't happening. They got a dang dust cover hole. Or dust cover shield and that, and I had to drill a hole in it, and then it catches the edge of the hub and that, and I finally managed to get it out and get the new one in.
That horrible, tedious job.
Would be a $500 job in the shop.
Buy a new car instead.
To the good old days when they made it where it really lasted, you know what I mean, and you could work on it. I guess all those people have passed on.
Yeah, things being repairable are definitely disappearing. I mean, you know, most things are still fixable, but it's gotten so hard that most people don't want to attempt it anymore.
Some kind of specialty, you can't do it.
You know, you've got to have surface mount soldering skills now, and microscopes and reflow ovens and stuff if you want to fix them, and I don't think that's by intent. I just think that's the natural progression of technology. Everything gets smaller. And so, you know, you have to grow with it, or you just lose the ability to fix it yourself. So you just got to take on, you know, there's a whole lot more you got to learn now, you know, to swap stuff out anymore.
Yeah, I never learned how to do any of that stuff to start with, so I'm at a total disadvantage.
A disadvantage yesterday. I changed the oil, all the filters on my truck yesterday, and that fuel filter should give me a fit. And C9B. Morning, fellas.
From JKT, yeah. My truck's got two fuel filters, an oil filter, and God only knows what else, cabin filter, air filter, so many filters, and a lot of them are really hard to get to.
Mark 4 TFW.
You know the one that's on the fuel tank, or right next to the fuel tank? It's a water separator, but, yeah, that... I had a buddy of mine did it last time, and man, he put it on too tight. I didn't know if I was going to get that thing off.
That separator on my truck has the first stage fuel filter in it, so you got to drain the water separator of all the fuel that's in it, and then you can unscrew it. But if you have too much fuel in the tank, it'll start siphoning fuel out of the tank and never stop running fuel out of it. So you got to run the tank almost empty before you can try to change the low pressure fuel filter.
We're doing that too, but I wasn't worried about it. It wasn't a gushing thing. It was just a steady dribble, whatever that way, like aggravating as heck. But I basically got it done, mangled up my oil filter wrench doing it, so I'm not gonna have to replace that. Use a hammer on the oil filter wrench, right there where the band attaches to the handle. And I worked on that for about an hour, finally got it to where I could get it loose. I'll tell you that. What were you talking about, Ken, earlier? Eric talked about earlier.
Replace the wheels, helped the son replace the wheel stud on his Civic. And it's like, damn, what an engineering nightmare that was. You know, I took the tire off, took the caliper off. And then was going to take the rotor off, but the rotor's got one darn Phillips head screw, unless you got one of them impact screwdrivers, that ain't happening. And then it's got a dust cover on the back, and the bolt won't come out. And then when finally got that out of the way a little bit by drilling a hole, and then the head of the lug barely catches the metal on the hub, and that, so I knocked it out, and then I had to grind the other one a little bit to get it back in. It's like, damn, it was just a nightmare.
You there. Yeah, funny you should mention the impact screwdriver. Yeah, I need one. They're $9.99 at Harbor Freight. But I've got a clutch reservoir. That's a hydraulic clutch on my motorcycle. Got one of the screws off, Phillips head screw, no problem on the cap. But the other one, yeah, it stripped it out. So it wasn't coming out. So I might have to get one of those impact ones and whack it a few times.
Sure, why they wanted to screw that thing back on. You know, most of them just stick on there.
You know, nothing's easy these days, right?
$500 job in the shop to replace one wheel stud.
They probably want $300 to change the filters of my truck. I even did the cabin filter, the engine filter, the air filter. I've got the oil filter. I just got to change, grab the oil. I'm rolling a full synthetic Rotella T, but I gotta pick that up. That's a pretty penny. $10 for a tune-up on this truck, you know, on the oil filter change and all the fuel filters and everything.
$10 to replace the spark plugs on this on my Hemi. It's spark plugs, but it the last, I guess they go in and set to twos, but the last ones on the, I guess, the driver's side are just a bear to get to.
The grid heater replacement, intake air horn and everything for this truck, I just need to get around and do it. I just don't feel confident doing the fuel injector lines. Getting those off, you're going to take those off to get the grid heater out and then replace it with the grid that it's got, the new horn that goes on there. It's a nice setup, but man, I don't know if I'm confident enough for that. You goober up the injector or the line, and you look at that score. Chunk of change there. NC9V.
Riding my bumper in the right lane, flashing his high beams at me, would not go around. So I moved over into the center lane, and he went flying around me on the right, temporary tag from Texas on a white minivan. Then he went up behind the tractor trailer that was in front of me, started flashing him. He wouldn't get around, so he jumped off on this exit. Not sure what the hell this guy was doing, but I don't know. This seems weird.
Dude in Texas.
Drugs or child trafficking.
But there's some wacky people out there, I'll tell you.
Exit at where he got off so I can avoid that.
Pay attention here. Let me see what the next one up here is. Yes.
Okay, bye.
Come on.
TFW, it's Scott, right?
That's right, it's Scott. How y'all doing today?
Leon, in C9B. Good morning, I'm doing well.
Good to you, Jake.
Yeah, good morning again, it's Ken. Kilo, November 4, Tango, Foxtrot, Whiskey.
All right, glad to be home. Spent last week in New York City, and boy, they talk different on the radio up there, that's for sure.
Go.
Stayed in Long Island City, and took my handheld with me and did a little talking on the radio. Checked into a couple nets, and it was fun.
Good pizza while you're up there.
I always have good pizza when I'm up there. My work sends me up there quite a bit, and it's pizza is. I love pizza, so it's like heaven when I get to go up there and have some good pizza.
up on Riverside Drive in the upper west side of Manhattan, and there were some definitely good pizza places up there when I was growing up.
Yeah, I do have one rule when I go to New York City is, you know, never eat at a chain. Always have to eat somewhere local.
Look out, Sal's and Carmine at 102nd and Broadway, man. Fantastic pizza. They're still there. They've been there, you know, they were there when I was a kid, and the kids took over, and they're running it now, and it's just a real solid, real great place.
Some good pizza. Nothing wrong with that. But Chicago has some Chicago pizza. That famous place got up there by that big, shiny, oval ball-looking thing. But good walking distance. The only way we go at walking distance is where we went. But, Scott, good to make your acquaintance there. Little recommendation, though. You might want to back off the microphone just a bit. Sounds like you're a little bit close up on it.
So I get a little excited.
You like good pizza, but then you start talking about Chicago, so I'm a little confused.
You're always confused, Eric. What are you talking about? I like to go to Black Mountain to get their, My Father's Pizza. That's good pizza over there. And I do like the thin crust versus the thick crust.
Chicago, man, I mean, the cheese is on the bottom, the sauce is on the top. I mean, it's backwards.
Yeah, Chicagoland, so she mail orders these frozen Giordano's pizza, and it, yeah, you're right, it's totally backwards. The sauce is on top, the cheese is underneath it, the toppings are underneath that. I just don't get it.
Pizza around here that even has some sauce on it.
The crust from cardboard.
Pizza.
Saturday for the grandkids, they like it.
Thrown out of one of those, or he was asked not to come back. I mean, Charleston is all you can eat, you know.
Getting thrown out of the Little Caesars.
Yeah, that's the boy. This morning. You're going to delete your truck.
Eventually, I think.
Like, come on, I don't know why it came on, but I changed all the filters and everything, and it seemed to have gone away. Of course, the reminder about change your fuel filters has been on about, I don't know, a month or two.
Four in that thing. CP4 high pressure fuel pumps, they are prone to self-destruction if you fail to change your fuel filters frequently enough.
That's the longest I've ever been without changing the fuel filter. Usually I change them as they come up, but this morning the engine light went out, so I'm happy.
Whenever I change the oil, because they want you to change the fuel filters every 10,000 miles in my truck, and I usually end up changing my oil about every 7 or 8, so it's a good time to do it.
They recommend every time you change your oil, change your filters, but I'd give my money's worth, I guess, I don't know. But I do need to change the oil. I'm not quite up to the required limit, but it's getting close enough. No jinxer, but she's purred like a kitten this morning. She's in the stud out on one of the company trucks? On one of your trucks or one of the delivery trucks?
And Civic. And then he bought a used Civic from CarMax. Somebody must have, I don't know, they cross-threaded it because it was messed up on the end. You couldn't get a bolt started on it. So he bought a new stud, but it's like, man, that was a two-hour process to try to cheat the system, brother. Because if you do it the right way, then you got to replace the wheel bearings.
Little Hondas, though. They'll go. Honda Accord. That thing, you got to pass them. My daughter, my son. Well, I went to my son, then I went to my daughter. Then we traded it in. And then we ended up buying it back from the trade-in. And drove it for a long time, and then finally ended up getting rid of it. And I think my son said the guy blew the engine up or something. But it had like over 200,000 on it. Additives in your fuel for the fuel pump?
Yeah, it'll clean once in a while. It's not just for the fuel pump, but you know, it's also to keep everything else going. But diesel clean's the only thing that Cummins approves for fuel additives for this engine in my truck. So, but I put one in, you know, A couple times a year, I'll dump a bottle in there just to keep everything cool.
Something like that.
It's an algicide that keeps, you know, algae and stuff from growing in your tank, because there is some of that stuff that can happen. So it's got, like, an algicide and a lubricant and some other stuff in it, you know, because there's no reason in it whatsoever. So it's good to have something in there for some lubricity.
It's got algae to grow in diesel fuel.
Yeah, for sure.
I put DEF fluid in a couple weeks ago, and it had moved off 100% since, but it moved this morning. So I wanted it to keep that engine light out.
They're waiting for me today when I get home. I've got this circuit breaker that keeps popping for no apparent reason.
Not a bigger one.
Maybe it's just weak.
It could just be that it has gotten weak or something. It's a 40-amp breaker that feeds a sub-panel in our basement. And, you know, the 40-amp breaker is definitely warm to the touch, so there's something happening with it. And I don't know if it's got a loose connection on it, and it's heating up or whatever, but I think when the ice maker out on the patio tries to fire up, it just pushes it over the edge and trips it, you know, once in a while. This afternoon, open up that sub pan, open up the main breaker panel, and just see if I can figure out what's going on.
Car camera.
I mean, none of the sub panel breakers are getting hot. I've already done the thermal image, but yeah, the 40 amp breaker is definitely, you know, about 105 degrees, 110 degrees F. Definitely real warm to the touch. So yeah, it's definitely on the edge there.
Say it's a loose connection that probably has affected the breaker by now. That's just a guess.
Yeah, before where, you know, those studs that hold the wires in get a little loose, and then it creates a little bit of resistance, and that heat just goes right into the breaker and will eventually overload it.
I'm trying to keep a close eye on mine, but, you know, sometimes you let them slip. You don't look at stuff in a while.
Number six feeder that goes from the main panel to the sub panel, so I could replace that with a bigger breaker too, and it would be just fine, because number six I think is good for let's see, I think at number six you can do a 50 amp circuit.
Try to figure out how many amps you can run off that circuit, make sure it's the same. I'd much rather have the proper breaker for the amperage being used than overpowering the circuit and having something get a little too warm and spark ignite.
Well, breaker exists to protect the wire, so as long as your breaker is sized properly for your wire, I mean, the sub panel has 8 15 amp circuits in it, and each one of those has its own 15 amp breaker, so it's not going to, you know, overload anything to put a bigger breaker on the feeder, because, you know, the feeder can handle the 50 amps. So if we've just plugged enough stuff in that we're taking too much current for the 40 amp breaker, I think it's perfectly fine to upsize it to a 50 as long as the feeder wire will handle it, which I think a number 6 is good for 50, maybe even 60, I can't remember. The maker and the wine cooler and some other stuff, you know, the new gaming table has its own lighting. I've added some overhead lights in the basement on that panel, so you know, it's entirely possible that we've just added enough stuff, because, you know, 8 times 15 is 120 amps out of that sub panel. So, you know, if the stuff we're actually using is, you know, adding up to more than 40, which is possible, you know, we'll be tripping that supply breaker.
Thankful that when we took that direct lightning strike, everything turned out A-okay. I guess that's what you get for overdoing things, I guess. So I wired up the house, I overdid everything. And I've got a 100 amp sub panel that feeds the majority of the house, and all that, everything else is on the main panel. But we only lost a couple breakers and a couple appliances, nothing major.
Do you guys have, like, a whole house surge protector or anything in your panel, or do you just get lucky?
No surge protection at all, which I need one, but those things are pricey.
time I looked at them at Lowe's, they're about $120 or something like that, maybe even a little bit more, but I'll probably pick one up. I'm going to get a new breaker on my way home today, and I'll probably pick one of those up as well, because we've had some pretty crazy lightning storms. I've actually had to run next door and unplug the radios a couple times in the last couple weeks, because we've had some crazy lightning in the town.
Case to the lake, and I remember that, like, I don't like being away from the aisles that long.
This street coming up beside me. Can't hardly see for all the lights.
Tree?
So many lights on the truck. It's like you've got three rows of really bright lights on the side, and then he's got them running up the back, and then when he signaled, all those flashed, and that's like, man, it's like a big-ass Christmas tree.
He's going down the road.
Big lights, that's for sure.
Right in up in McCaddenville, North Carolina. They have every year the whole town of McCaddenville is like a giant, Christmas tree light or Christmas light decorating your house competition or something. That you drive through the town and it's just, as bright as can be, and everybody's got crazy lights all over their houses.
Month of December. Nobody coming up to our house looking lights.
Plastic incandescent Christmas lights like we have?
Yes, and say again.
Well, in Greenville. Do you have a bunch of those incandescent Christmas lights like the old plastic C7s and C9s and stuff?
I love those lights, but everything's got an LED now, which is better, but I don't know if I want to. And I've got patio lights I'll leave up year-round. They're not Christmas lights. They go all around the patio, the carport and stuff that I can turn off. I've got my house kind of automated, so it's all voice-controlled. And we can turn the lights on and off wherever we're at as long as we've got internet. But, everything's pretty much LED now. So the C7, C9 lights we've kind of gotten rid of, even though I think they look better.
I have a C7 that I put along the rain gutters, but then we've got some of those remote controllable LED spotlights like you're talking about that we use to illuminate some of the trees so that I can change them to the color. So I'll put them out for Halloween, and then we'll illuminate the trees like purple and orange for Halloween, and then we'll do some other colors for Christmas, and then we'll change them to red and green for Thanksgiving, and then we'll change to red and green for Christmas, and then I'll take them up after New Year's. So we got lights that are good for probably 2 or 3 months for various holidays, and then we bring them in.
Mark, I would like to have one big, like, flat Christmas tree I can put on the side of the second story. The face of the road as you're driving in. So, we're us big on that ridge, the knoll on the ridge, and you can see us from about 2 or 3 miles away. It looked pretty cool. Darkness all around, and then you see this little Christmas tree way off in the distance. They do the whole yard, they do the whole 9 yards. You got a parade of cars going in the whole Christmas tree of lights.
Sorry, I got twisted up in some work, and I've been listening, but I got my head caught up in some work.
What?
Run and wake up the kids and get them started on their journey to the bus and everything, but that's the glory of working from home. It's always there waiting for you.
Part-time job, 2 days a week at home.
Time, huh? I wish.
But I'm supposed to be retired. And on that note, I want to sign with y'all because I pulled up at my job. My part-time job. 73, y'all. Kid, have a great day. You too, Eric. Scott, y'all take care. It's a C9B.
73 Leon, have a good one, and I'm going to sign with you guys too. I'm rolling down to the gate. So, Scott and Eric, you guys have a good one, and we'll catch you guys later. KN4 TFW.
Good to see you,
JKT.
Sure. I need to jump out of here too and give Courtney a call. So, we wish you guys a 73. Hope you both have a great day. And, Ken, Scott, we'll catch you guys a little bit later. This is WTU JKT. I'll declare on your final.
Well,
pulling in the gate now. So everybody have a good one. Catch you guys in the morning. KN4 TFW.
C3 is all you guys. Catch y'all tomorrow. KN4 GEG.